The next coach on the teleconference is Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio. D'Antonio led the Spartans to a share of the East Division title and takes the program to its third Big Ten football championship game. Michigan State finished the season 7-1 in conference play and has won at least 11 games for the fourth time in the past five seasons. The Spartans are looking for their second Big Ten title in the past three seasons and ninth overall. Coach, if you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Thank you. Very excited to represent the East Division in this championship game. This was our first goal to get to this game, so we're excited about the opportunity and the challenge that that is there. And I'll take some questions, just coming off our Penn State game.
Thanks, Coach. We'll take those questions now.
Thank you. I would like to remind our listeners, with any questions at this time, press star 1 on the telephone keypad. We'll pause just a moment to compile the roster. Our first question comes from the line of Mark Tracy with the New York Times.
Hi, Coach. Congratulations. One thing that stands out looking at both you and Iowa is differently, you guys both make lots of use of your fullbacks, and in particular, Trevon Pendleton, in addition to playing traditional fullback while blocking and such, has also had a few receptions, and including the touchdown against Ohio State. I was wondering if you could just elaborate a little on your philosophy of how the fullback fits into your offense and into the game as it's played today.
Well, quite honestly, when I became a head coach, I sort of followed a lot of the examples that I had been with. Some of the schools I've been with, Michigan State, we used a fullback, and I think you try and pattern your program after certain programs when you become a head coach. Say, hey, I want to be like them in some ways, and really, we looked at when we came to Michigan State, when I went to Cincinnati, we said we sort of patterned after ourselves a little bit after Iowa, actually. Said, hey, we want to have a fullback, we want to have a power football game. We want to use that guy in various areas, mainly probably as a blocker and a receiver, which is much like Iowa does. And so that's how we sort of initially started. I think we're pretty diverse as they are in terms of what offense we run. We use a lot of tight ends and three wide receiver sets as well, but we do have a fullback still in our offense, and I think it's paid dividends.
Thanks.
Speaks to toughness.
Okay, we continue to the line of Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com.
Hey, Mark, what does this game, you think, mean for the Big Ten to essentially have a playoff play-in game? A year after, a lot of people were saying that the league wasn't even going to make the playoff, and then Ohio State wins the national championship, and now you guys have this big game. But what do you think the significance is for the conference?
Well, I think it's a statement for college football in this conference, but I've always said that, what separates conference from conference is really, the individual matchups that you have game to game, team to team, outside the conference, also inches, much like within the conference, So college football, there's great parity in college football, but I do think that this conference has always been extremely well coached and has great football players in it and great fan support and great atmospheres to play in, and a lot of media attention, a lot of different things going on. But you look across the spectrum of the top 20, 25 in college football right now, the Big Ten is very well represented.
I mean, the SEC had that run of championships. How significant is it to kind of build momentum for several years, not just 1 year for the league?
Well, I think you're always trying to win consistently or be consistent in anything that you're doing. So, obviously it's big, but I just think there's a lot of parity in college football. I think things turn quickly. It's how you play year to year. And, I can only speak to our program, really, in terms of what we try and do every year to try and make sure that we have consistency.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And our next question is from Bill Bender with Sporting News.
Hey, Coach, good afternoon. I was just wondering, for two teams that kind of are built with on the offensive line and the defensive line, what's the unique challenge of preparing for this Iowa team on both fronts?
Well, we're just getting into that now. We're really just coming off the game last night, when we got done with it and everything. So, but I think the history of the two football teams is we've played some great games versus each other in these past years. And I think there is a history in terms of of what we do and what they do. You know, we do what we do, and they do what they do, and they do it well. And, you know, what you have to do, I think, is like in any football game, you have to win up front, and it starts up front. And that'll be a challenge because they're extremely well coached and they have great players.
Thank you.
Yep.
And we now have the line of Nate Taylor with the Indianapolis Star.
Hello, Mark. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Kirk sort of mentioned that there were similarities between Michigan State and Iowa. You sort of referenced earlier how you wanted to pattern yourself after Iowa and sort of their system and, of power and toughness. When you look at these two teams, I know you're just now preparing, but what do you think are the two similarities? Are the similarities between these two teams given the lack, or excuse me, given the history of the close games in the last few years?
You know, as I just said, I really haven't watched them too much yet. You know, I've seen, we've seen them on TV when we haven't, you know, but we haven't had, we didn't play them this year. Well, we didn't play them last year. So, but what I can say about Iowa is they come to play every game. And the reason we tried to pattern our program after them, you know, if we said, okay, who do we want to be like? We want to take certain concepts and certain ideals from these programs. You know, Iowa, they always had a workmanlike attitude. They always went to work. They always played people tough. They always seemed to win consistently. They were very well coached. Their players played very firm up front on both sides of the ball. And you know, that's who we wanted to be. And we wanted to be able to play with anybody on our schedule. And I think at that point in time when I became a head coach, I was doing that. And as you can see, that they're doing that again.
And we now have a question from Scott Docterman with the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Good afternoon, Mark. Question for you. Now that the Big Ten has gone east versus west, and you and Iowa once were in the same division, do you notice, is there a difference between the styles of play in the east and west division, or is it just merely the divisions themselves and that's the way things have turned out?
Oh, I don't think there's any difference. You have no huddle teams in both on both sides. You have up tempo teams on both sides, and you have power oriented teams on both sides. So I don't think there's any difference in the, because there's a lot of diversity, I guess, is what you'd say, on football diversity in either conference, in both conferences. So I just think they're two very, very good conferences, well coached, and good football players on each side. So I tend to respect all the people that we play.
When you look at Iowa's offensive line, what works for them technically that's maybe a little bit different than the other teams you face?
Well, I haven't watched them too much this year yet. You know, we've not prepared for them yet, and it's Sunday, so we're just coming off our game with Penn State. But I would say, if they're like they used to be, a lot of intense zone blocking schemes, and from a technique standpoint, and they work very, very well together. They understand what they need to do, and there's not a lot of mental errors, and they play on toughness and they play on effort.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Rick Brown with the Des Moines Register.
Coach, Kirk Ferentz kind of thought that Connor Cook had his coming out party at Kinnick Stadium in 2013. What's your recollection of that? Was that the game that kind of got him, broke him out and got him playing at a fast pace?
Well, what I remember is the week before we had played Notre Dame, and that was his first opportunity to go on a big stage away from home. And it was really his, I think maybe his second consecutive start for sure. And, you know, he sort of took off. You know, up until that time, he'd been playing okay, had a good game the third game. But then, you know, the Notre Dame game made him slip back a little bit. And then we made the decision to go with him full go. And he played outstanding that game. And it was a team win, but we played very well.
And then I know you haven't seen a lot of Iowa, but as you prepared for maybe the crossover games, have you seen anything that stands on a tape about C.J. Beathard?
I've just seen him on TV. Looks very consistent. Looks like a playmaker. Throws the ball very consistently and makes great decisions. Looks like he's got great leadership skills. Great game manager.
Okay, we continue now to the line of Brian Bennett with ESPN.com.
Hey, Mark, kind of along those same lines, and you may not have seen CJ enough, but do you see any similarities in between CJ and Connor and just the way they're able to kind of move the pocket and make big plays down in clutch situations?
You know, I really haven't watched enough tape to see that, you know, but, you know, anybody that's 12-0, done what he's done. He's won in close games. He's been a great game manager, as I said earlier, and I think he shows toughness and leadership. He's got, you know, he throws a good ball, you know, very catchable football. But I'm really just seeing, remembering what I saw off of TV. I really have not looked at them. I'm still really, to be honest, looking at us from yesterday, and you know, we always want to correct ourselves and make sure we're going to be the best that we can be and correct any issues.
Gotcha. And on an unrelated note, just you guys obviously had the kind of the miracle play at the end of the Michigan game and one go against you in Nebraska. What does that say just about kind of how close it is to try to get to this point and just how thin the margin of victory can be sometimes?
Yeah, there's a lot of parity in college football, and you got to play it out. That's all I can say. You know, all we tell our players is play every play. You know, if there's 10 seconds left, you got to play that 10 seconds because anything can happen. And I think you see that every weekend when you're watching college football right now. And there are great examples last night as well. So we've had it happen for us. We've had it happen again against us. So, you know, you just got to play it out. And I think that's a message to everybody playing college football and really football in general right now.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Our next question is from David Fox with Athlon Sports.
Mark, you have four guys on your staff who have been with you for 9 years or more, two others for 5 years or more. How much does that consistent approach help, you know, when you have a year like this where you've had injuries in a handful of places?
There's no question, and that's another reason we wanted to, you know, compare ourselves to Iowa. Iowa has had great, you know, longevity on their coaching staff, great continuity, and we wanted to have the same thing when I became a head coach. And incidentally, I saw where the assistant coach of the year, all that stuff came out. We were not, I'll just say it like it is since I'm sort of on the topic, but I never got anything on that in the mail or anything of that nature to nominate any of our guys. So I don't know where the ball got dropped. But anyway, all of our assistant coaches, and I could talk about each one of them, have had outstanding years in terms of what they've been able to accomplish with their individual groups, whether it's our offensive line, our wide receiver group, Terrence Samuels has done a tremendous job. You know, our quarterback coach, Brad Salem. You know, Jim Bowman's been on numerous championship teams. You look at Dave Warner, what he's been able to do. He's 35-4 since becoming the coordinator here. You know, Harlan Barnett's now the coordinator with Mike Tressel. You know, Ron Burton's coached our defensive line. He's 35-4. Mark Snyder, I've coached with him at Ohio State, former head coach, former defensive coordinator at various other places. We have a great staff, and I think it shows. We have great continuity here right now, and we have great teachers, and they have great relationships with our players, and that's why we win, because of our chemistry that's created by those coaches.
Do you have a sense of how rare that is, and how, as you alluded to, kind of an edge in terms of kids not having to learn or relearn concepts over their course of time on campus, because it is quite rare?
Yeah, I think that my feeling is you've got to be able to withstand the storms in your life, you know, and sometimes things aren't going to work well on the field, but you've got to, you know, you can always change things and coach a little bit differently, but when you change relationships, you start fresh with relationships, and those are very difficult to build because they're built on trust with players and coaches alone. Within a staff, within a team, those relationships are built on trust. So that's tough to deal with. But, you know, as a coach, I can always get better, can always redesign something or figure out something, and it may not work right, but good things can happen if you can correct those things. But when relationships are damaged because of too much change and there's always something different, a new teacher in the classroom, I think it's tough.
Thank you.
And we now have the line of Graham Couch with the Lansing State Journal. Graham, your line is open. We continue to Mike Griffith with MLive Media Group.
Coach, I just want to reflect on that 2013 game. We talked with Iowa's coach a little bit about it. Do you recall how much of a departure from your game plan was it? Connor went downfield quite a bit in that game, and I just wonder how much of that was you discussing that with your offensive coaches in terms of maybe going downfield a little bit more. It seemed like earlier in the season the throws had been maybe a little bit more conservative.
You know, I'm trying to think back to 2013. I know that we weren't very consistent early in the season, you know, at the quarterback position, and we were very inexperienced. And I think that we gained some confidence. I think Connor gained some confidence, and I think the Iowa game, you know, I think he stepped into his own. And I think it was the best that he had played at that point in time against great competition and in a tough environment. And for whatever reasons, we went down the field more. But whether it was by design or whether it was by him going downfield, I'm not really quite sure because I can't really remember back. But we had some big plays, there's no question.
And then just to follow up on Connor, I wonder about the game last night. I know you wouldn't have played him if he wasn't healthy, but still, is there kind of a, I don't want to say hold your breath moment, but you want to see if a guy's good after having a shoulder? Because, I mean, let's face it, a lot of passes are touch passes, and there's not much margin for error at the level that Connor plays at.
No, you know, I think that we talked about when we knew he had his arm strength back, we talked about, hey, you can't play out there. You know, you can't play hurt out there. You can't play if you're, you know, if there's a risk of your injury. You have to feel, there's always risk in football of injury, but you have to feel like you can go out there and be yourself. And so once he said, you know, that was talked about Thursday, that was talked about on Friday, and that was talked about on Saturday. And I told him he was going to have to make the call on that I can't make the call for him there. You know, Saturday he told me he's good, let's go. And he'd taken some, you know, pops on the shoulders and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I felt like he felt like he was good. So we went with it, and our offensive line did a great job protecting him. But also, he showed no signs of any concern. You know, he was good to go.
And we now have the line of Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com.
Hey, Mark, can you speak to your perspective on Kirk Ferentz, specifically the loyalty that he's shown Iowa and vice versa, going 34-30 the last 4 years before this one, and then boom, they're 12-0 this season in his 17th year?
Yeah, you know, I think Coach Ferentz is, first of all, an outstanding head football coach, as evidenced by his 17 years there. And I've already said that, you know, he patterned things after the way he ran his program. A little bit offense, a little bit defense, but maybe a little bit more in terms of the attitude and the work ethic and the continuity and some of those things. And along the way, you know, he's had great success, and just like everything else, you know, there's been other times where you know, things maybe haven't worked as well, and then you have an administration that has stood behind him. And I think that's rare, as you see these days, and that allows for success to continue. But I can't say enough about him as a person, in terms of the way he handles himself in coaches' meetings, and then what I've seen from him on the field in terms of his composure on the sideline, and then also the way he seems to handle his players.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And we return to the line of Graham Couch with the Lansing State Journal.
Sorry about that. I had an iPhone issue there. Mark, I wanted to ask you about, through Ed Davis and Dante Copeland and all those guys, really, was there ever a point in the season where you began to wonder if it was going to be too much, or to be concerned that you couldn't get the offensive line to where it is now, all the things coming together at the right time?
Well, there was never a point when I thought it would be too much, but there were points where I would say, hey, we got to play every game. You know, every game is tight, and we can't make mistakes in the games. And, you know, we played very well in the turnover area, and there's some areas of our football team that has played extremely well. And just like any football team, there's areas that, you need to get better. But we've played young players, and young players are different. You know, freshmen, they're not allowed to cut in high school football. So all of a sudden they get to, cut you downfield. So all of a sudden you get to college and you got freshmen playing, and as much as you work, they get in the game and they're whacked down, cut down. Well, they've got to gain experience. There's a lot to think about in terms of change and everything like that, game to game. So there are times when you know that you're at risk, but I think at the end, it provides growth, as I said earlier this year, and growth inevitably makes you stronger as long as you handle it in a positive way, and that's what we've tried to do.
The way, earlier in the season when the offensive line was banged up, Connor Cook really seemed to have their back at Rutgers, for example, getting rid of the ball, taking the hits, and then last night when he can't take the hit, they don't allow it now that they're healthy. This team sort of being there healthy enough at one spot to cover for another, does that happen perfectly in some ways for you guys?
Yeah, I think it has. I think you're dead on that. We've got great chemistry on this team, and there's a genuine concern for everybody's well-being. But I think you're right. I think that, Connor knew what he had to do when things were a little bit more inexperienced, or we were working with some younger players there or some guys out of position. And then last night, I think our offensive line played extremely well for him in his situation. So it's a give and take always around here. Hopefully we're meshing at the right time. And I'm very proud of our football team, the way we've handled our adversities throughout this season thus far. There's going to be more to come, and how we handle it will define us even further. But at this point, we've gotten up off the mat after Nebraska, and we played through injuries, and we played down the stretch. We've won some close games, and we haven't given up on each other.
Thanks, Mark.
Our next question is from Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News.
Hey, Mark, I was wondering, is a week like this, is your schedule pretty much business as usual in terms of your preparation? And having been in this game now for the third year, is there any sort of advantage to having gone through this and knowing kind of what to expect for this week?
Yeah, I do think that there's an advantage having gone through this before. We've got guys here who were redshirted in 2011 who were at the game, the Wisconsin game. And they were playing in the game in 2013. So we've got guys that actually have been, this is their third time down there. And I think that's a plus for us, at least knowing the environment, at least knowing what to expect a little bit. But everything's always going to be a little bit different. They're in different roles, I guess you'd say, more leadership roles or more defined roles. As far as our preparation, we'll treat it like an away game. And we'll do what we do. And I think there's a system in place, a process in place for us to be able to do what we do in terms of preparation. So we're at work as we speak here, and, we're going to do the job to the best of our ability.
Okay, we now have the line of Adam Biggers with todaysyou.com.
Hey, Mark, just a general question about a wide receiver development, and using Aaron Burbage as an example. That 4-week stretch, we had like 30, 37, 38 catches and 500 some yards. I mean, it's how big of a part? I mean, Michigan State's known for the wide receivers lately. How big of a part has that played in the success and going to those streak of at least 10 wins and all of that?
Our wide receiver position group and Terrence Samuels coached those guys. Has been tremendous, really, 2013, 14, and 15. And really what's happened is we've created almost a six-man wide receiver rotation in 13 and 14. And those guys are really older now and, are very comfortable and consistent and confident in their abilities. And if you look what Aaron Burbage has been able to do, and really McGarrett Kings and R.J. Shelton, they've been those guys have been tremendous assets out there on the football field for us. And you put our tight ends in that environment to catch the ball, and we've got guys who can make plays down the field.
Not to directly compare head-to-head to take away from anybody. But, I mean, the chemistry between Connor and these guys, I mean, is there anything reminiscent of maybe, you know, with what Kirk had going with BJ and Mark and Keyshawn and those guys? Do you see anything similar this season?
Yeah, I do see similarities there. You know, those guys were outstanding players. And, you know, in 2011, they made a ton of plays. And whether it's comparing those guys or comparing the Tony Lippitt, Keith Mumphrey, and Penny Fowler, those guys with which the guys we had here were three of the six and that I just talked about, the other three. So there's just been a continuity to them, and really all those guys played in the last – really, you know, I think players come in cycles. You know, these guys are – two of them are seniors. We had two seniors last year, the senior before that. So all these guys are play their way out, you know, and they're all playing at a higher level right now in the NFL, really.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We continue now to Teddy Greenstein with the Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Mark, just a quick one. When you guys scheduled Oregon those two games, was there a thought in mind regarding the playoff and strength of schedule?
No, not to my knowledge. I just said, "Oh, we're playing Oregon." Okay, no, it was just. I think Notre Dame came up our schedule, and we wanted to play somebody a quality opponent. We had an opportunity to go out there and play them, and then they would come here, and we felt like that would be a national game, and that would prep us for our football season, you know, within the Big Ten. So, at that point in time, I really wasn't thinking that would put us in the playoffs or not. I knew that in 14 that should we win the game, that should we have won the game, that we would have been. I think early games early in the year, I think, can only help you at the end of the year if you win them. If you lose them, I don't really know how much difference it has as long as you won all the other ones. I think last year we would have been in the playoffs had we beaten Ohio State in November.
Right. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we now have the line of Hondo Carpenter with Spartan Nation.
Mark, obviously with not having a ton of time to prep for Iowa, as you've mentioned numerous times today, not seeing them, will you reach out to Pat Narduzzi and kind of talk with him and get their analysis having played them and what their thought was as far as game planning?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we will. And that's probably already been done. So, but there'll be further, you know, anybody that we know that has played against them that we know well, you know, we'll be talking with. I mean, I think that's part of the trade, I guess, trade secrets, I guess.
We've got time for one last question for Coach D'Antonio.
Thank you, sir. And that comes from the line of Jared Shanker of ESPN.com.
Hey, Mark, this is kind of a broad question, but how has the success, the visibility of Michigan State basketball, as well as your friendship with Tom Izzo, help build and sustain your football program?
It's had a lot to do with it, especially early on, you know, and I think I've talked a lot about, you know, our building here, as I can look out my window here and see our basketball arena across an intramural field. And I've been at practice before, and I've seen how they practice and seen the intensity. I've been, obviously, at a lot of games, basketball games, and I've seen how they finish close games and play with a great deal of confidence, and I've watched them in the Final Four. I've been there on the sidelines in national championship game when they played. And all those things, even though it's basketball, all those things, you know, tell you something. If you look for anything, you can always build on what somebody else is doing. But his continuity that he's had here, his relationships with his players and the student body, all those things, I think, come into play a little bit. And we wanted to pattern ourselves, our mindset after that we would play anywhere, anybody, and that we would compete against anybody and be able to do so. And we had to have players that would play big at the end of the game, that would play fearlessly. Because I think really that's what you see in basketball. Great basketball teams, which we have one, they play down the stretch. And I think that's what we've been able to do thus far.
And you touched on it, even though it's basketball, you can still pick up a few things from watching them in a championship setting or watching them practice. If you wouldn't mind just elaborating a little bit more on that as to what you can glean or from conversations you have with Tom that you can pick up
that do translate from a championship setting in basketball to the same type of setting in football?
Yeah, you know, both, you know, certainly talking to him as a coach, but then also watching them, you know, watching, going to practice and watching them communicate with each other. Going to practice and watching how intense they play against each other and how there's constant communication and trust on the basketball court. Watching a basketball game and, you know, with X number of seconds left and watch how they attack the situation rather than hang back and play not to lose. They play to win. Those type of things are the things that I think that I'm talking about is the intangible aspects of it that would apply to just sport in general.
Thank you, Mark.
Coach, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll see you down in Indianapolis.
Okay, thanks again. Looking forward to it.